السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث إن الله الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار عباد الله الصيام عبادة عظيمة تعبد الله بها جميع خلقه قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون فالصيام إنما شرع لتزكية نفوس العباد ومحو ذنوبهم وتطهير قلوبهم من أدرانها قال الإمام ابن حجر رحمه الله تعالى في تعريف معنى الصيام قال الصيام هو إمساك مخصوص في زمن مخصوص من شيء مخصوص بشرائط مخصوصة وقال العلامة ابن عزيمين رحمه الله تعالى: هو التعبد لله سبحانه وتعالى بالإمساك عن الأكل والشرب وسائر المفطرات من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس. والصيام عباد الله عبادة من العبادات تفتقر إلى نية. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. متفق عليه من حديث أمير المؤمنين عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه. والنية أي عباد الله هي عزم القلب على فعل الشيء، والنية محلها القلب، ولا يجوز التلفظ بها لأن ذلك بدعة. لم يعهد من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا من أصحابه. ويجوز أن تكون النية للصوم في أي جزء من الليل ولو قبل الفجر بلحظة، ولا بد للصوم الواجب من نية قبل الفجر. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى: كل من علم أن غدا رمضان وأراد صيامه فهذه نية، وهذا هو عمل عامة المسلمين. وأما صوم النفل فيجوز لك أن تنوي قبل الزوال، أي قبل أذان الظهر بربع ساعة تقريبا، ما لم تكن قد أكلت قبل ذلك أو جامعت، لفعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأما النفل المعين كعاشوراء وعرفة فاشترط بعض أهل العلم نية من الليل له، فمتى أعلن دخول الشهر في البلد المسلم الذي يقيم فيه الإنسان لزمه الصوم معهم. ولا عبرة في المذهب الفقهي الذي يتبعه ولا في بدء الصوم في بلده الأصلي. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: صوموا لرؤيته وأفطروا لرؤيته. متفق عليه. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصوم يوم تصومون والفطر يوم تفطرون. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصوم يوم يصوم الناس والفطر يوم يفطر الناس. ومن ترك الصوم لغير عذر شرعي فقد أتى كبيرة من كبائر الذنوب. وقد اختلف أهل العلم فيه: أهو كافر كتارك الصلاة أم أنه فاسق يحتاج إلى توبة نصوح للخروج من إثمها؟ وهو تحت مشيئة الله إن مات ولم يتب. ولكن لا ينبغي أن يستعظم، ألا وهو معصية الله عز وجل بترك عبادة الصوم. قال الحافظ الذهبي رحمه الله تعالى: وعند المؤمنين مقرر أن من ترك صوم رمضان من غير عذر أنه شر من الزاني ومدمن الخمر، بل يشكون في إسلامه ويظنون به الزندقة والانحلال. وقال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله: إذا أفطر في رمضان مستحلا لذلك وهو عالم بتحريمه استحلالا له وجب قتله، أي ردة، وإن كان فاسقا، أي لم يعتقد حل فطر رمضان كان فاسقا عوقب عن فطره في رمضان. واعلموا عباد الله أن الصوم له مفسدات تسعة يفسد بأي منها. أولها الردة، كأن يكفر الإنسان أو يترك الصلاة متعمدا، أو يسب الله أو الرسول أو الدين. ومن مبطلات الصوم خروج دم الحيض من المرأة، وكذلك النفاس وما يسبق من مقدمات كنزول الدم ولو قطرات. ومن الأكل والشرب متعمدا، أما من كان ناسيا فعليه أن يمسك متى تذكر أو ذكر، وليس عليه قضاء ذلك اليوم. وهكذا ما كان بمعنى الأكل أو الشرب مثل الإبر المغذية التي يستغنى بها عن الأكل والشرب. فأما الإبر غير المغذية فإنها لا تفطر على القول الصحيح من أقوال أهل العلم. ومن مفطرات الصيام القيء عمدا، بأن يشم ما يعلم أنه مثير لقيئه أو أن يستحس القيء بإصبعه. أما إذا قاء عن غير إرادة وإنما كان ذلك حتف أنفه فإنه لا شيء عليه، اللهم إلا إذا أرجع شيئا من القيء في جوفه. ومن مبطلات الصيام أيضا الجماع وهو أعلاها، وهو العلاج في فرج أصلي سواء كان ذلك الفرج دبرا أو قبلا، وسواء كان من امرأة تحل له أو امرأة لا تحل له، وسواء كان في امرأة أو رجلا أو بهيمة، وعليه الكفارة المغلظة، وذلك بإمساك ذلك بقية ذلك اليوم والتوبة والإنابة إلى الله مع استشعار الذنب العظيم الذي اقترفه. وكذلك فإنه يلزمه قضاء ذلك اليوم بعد رمضان، ثم يلزمه صيام شهرين متتابعين لا يفصل بينهما بسفر مقصود لغرض الفطر، ولا يقطع بسبب غير شرعي. فمتى قطع الصوم بسبب غير شرعي لزمه العود من أول الأمر ولو كان في اليوم 58 منه. وعلى وكذلك من مفطرات الصيام إنزال المني بأي طريقة، خل احتلام أو تفكر أو مرض، فإنه إن أنزل باحتلام أو تفكر أو مرض فلا شيء عليه. ومن قطع النية كأن ينوي الفطر لسفر أو مرض، أو تنوي المرأة أو تحيض المرأة أو تنفس، فإنه متى الصوم لزمت النية من الليل، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صيام لمن لم يبيت النية من الليل. وهذه النية تكفي أول الشهر إلا لمن قطع الصيام بسفر أو مرض، أو كذلك المرأة بحيض أو نفاس، فإنه لا بد لهؤلاء من تجديد النية في الليلة التي يراد الصوم اليوم الذي بعدها. ومن مفطرات الصوم فقد العقل بالجنون أو الإغماء من قبل الفجر إلى غروب الشمس، وكذلك بالسكر مطلقا، فإن من شرب المسكر فلا صوم له إن بقي تأثير السكر معه إلى طلوع الفجر. وهذا يعني أنه قد أتى كبيرتين من كبائر الذنوب، كبيرة شرب الخمر وكبيرة تعمد الفطر في نهار رمضان. ولا يفطر الصائم إن احتاج إلى علاج سنه أو قلعه، لكن يجب أن يحترس من دخول الماء أو الدم إلى جوفه. ولا يفطر من احتاج إلى سحب الدم للاختبار قولا واحدا عند أهل العلم، والخلاف بينهم قائم في فطر من احتجم أو تبرع بدم، والصحيح أنه لا يفطر لكون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو صائم، كما ثبت ذلك في صحيح البخاري عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. ولا يفطر من أصبح جنبا من جنابة كانت بليل وإن لم يغتسل إلا بعد طلوع الفجر، ولا تفتوائل التي تسبقه مباشرة بعد الغروب ولو بلحظات. ولا تعتد المرأة بصوم يوم رأت فيه ذلك ولو قبل الغروب بلحظات، ويصح صومها لو رأت الطهر قبل الفجر بلحظات وإن لم تغتسل إلا بعد الفجر. ويجوز للصائم أن يتذوق الطعام بشرط أن يدخل جوفه منه شيء، ويجوز له أن يخفف من شدة وقع الصوم عليه بالاغتسال والنوم بشرط أن لا يضيع الصلوات الواجبة، ويجوز له الاكتحال واستعمال قطرة العين والأذن ولا عبرة بما يجده من مرارة في حلقه، ويجوز له استعمال بخاخ الربو وكذلك بخاخ الأنف، ويجوز له بلع ريقه واستعمال السواك ومعجون الأسنان في أي وقت من النهار بشرط أن لا يبتلع منه شيئا. ويفطر من ويفطر إن تعمد ابتلاع النخامة متى خرجت إلى فمه. وينبغي للصائم أن يحفظ صومه من الكذب والغيبة والنميمة والغش والخداع والسباب والشجار والفجور والنظر أو الاستماع إلى ما هو محرم شرعا. وينبغي أن يكثر من ذكر الله سنة عباد الله. أن يفطر الصائم على رطبات، فإن لم تكن رطبات فعلى تمرات، فإن لم تكن تمرات فأسأل الله أن يهل علينا رمضان بالأمن والإيمان، وأن يوفقنا وإياكم فيه إلى البر والإحسان. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع الخصم من خلفاء الأربعة الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهم وعن سائر أصحاب نبينا محمد أجمعين ومن استنى بسنتهم واهتدى بهديهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد عباد الله، فإنه متى أعلن رؤية هلال رمضان شرع للناس الشروع في صلاة التراويح، وهي صلاة تشرع جماعة لكونه صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى جماعة لثلاث ليال ثم ترك أداء جماعة خشية أن تفرض على الناس. رواه البخاري ومسلم عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها، وروى قريبا منه أهل السنن بسند صحيح عن أبي ذر الغفاري رضي الله تعالى عنه. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزيد عن 11 ركعة كما روت عائشة رضي الله عنها في الصحيحين. وفي البخاري عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه كان لا يزيد على 13 ركعة، ولكنها كانت ركعات كما وصفت أم المؤمنين عائشة. كان يصلي أربعا فلا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن، ثم يصلي ثلاثا. وكان إذا شرع في صلاته لم يخرج منها إلا قبيل الفجر كما ذكر ذلك الصديق وغيره رضي الله تعالى عنهم. وكانوا يتكئون على العصي من طول القيام. هذا هو الذي ينبغي في صلاة الليل عباد الله. أما الإسراع وقلة القراءة بالآيات وتقصير الركوع والسجود ونقر الصلاة نقرا، حتى إن بعض أئمة المساجد لا ينجزون 11 ركعة في أقل من نصف ساعة، وإن هذا والله لمضيعة ومفسدة. والواجب أن يتأنى الإنسان في صلاة الليل، والمحققين من أهل العلم على أنه لا حد لعدد ركعات صلاة الليل، والمهم أن يؤديها جماعة مع المسلمين في مسجد حيه الذي يصلي فيه عادة، لكي لا تهجر مساجد الأحياء، بحيث لو مر مار ظن أن أهل هذا الحي لا يشهدون صلاة القيام جماعة. واعلموا عباد الله أن طلب المساجد لحسن صوت القارئ ليس من السنة، وقد صدرت في ذلك فتوى لكبار أهل العلم في زماننا وقبله بأنه لا ينبغي تتبع المساجد بقصد حسن الصوت، لأن العبد يتعبد ربه بالكلام المتلو لا بصوت القارئ، وهو يتأثر إن جهز نفسه لذلك القيام متأملا كلام رب الأنام، فإنه عند ذلك يحصل الخشوع والتأثر. ومن الأخطاء الشائعة بين الناس حمل المصحف خلف الإمام في صلاة الليل لغير الإمام أو من يطلب منه الإمام ذلك ليفتح عليه، فإن حمل المصاحف وراء الأئمة فإن ذلك لا يجوز، وهو مشغلة ومناقض لقوله تعالى إذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون. ومن ذلك تناول الكثير من الأكل ما يسكن المصلي في صلاته وما يحمله على الترك أو الانزعاج فيها لطول القيام والركوع، وما ذلك إلا لكونه قد أكثر من الطعام عند الإفطار. ومن ذلك ومما يكره أيضا تناول ما له رائحة مستكرهة، وأسوأ منه تعاطي الدخان والشيشة أو الأرجيلة لكون ذلك يؤذي المصلين وكذلك يؤذي الملائكة المقربين. والأولى لبس أحسن ما عند الإنسان من لباس والتطيب والتبكير للعشاء والمشي دون الركوب. وعلى المرأة إن أرادت أن تأتي المسجد أن تجتنب كل ما هو فتنة من لباس أو طيب أو مشية. وعلى الجميع حفظ المسجد من عبث الصبيان وعدم إحضارهم إن كانوا لا يحسنون الصلاة أو ممن يحدثون الضوضاء في المسجد. وعلى أهل المسجد أن يعتنوا بنظافته وتبخيره خاصة في هذه الليالي المباركات. وعلى المسلمين الحفاظ على مسجد الذي اعتاد أن يصلي فيه الصلوات الخمس فيلزمه ولا ينتقل إلى غيره إلا أن يكون غيره أفضل منه في أجر الصلاة كالمسجد الحرام أو المسجد النبوي. وعلى الجميع الصبر والاحتساب واحتساب الأجر عند الله عز وجل لطول القيام، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. ومن تأثر بطول القيام شرع له الصلاة قاعدة. وعلى الأئمة مراعاة حال الناس وعدم الإطالة عليهم خصوصا في الدعاء، وعليهم تجنب السجع في الدعاء والأولى الاقتصار على ما ورد في القرآن والسنة الصحيحة من الدعاء. عباد الله، شهر رمضان شهر اختص الله به أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم دون سائر الأمم، فأوله عناية عظمى. واتقوا الله فيه حق التقوى، واعلموا يا رعاكم الله أن أجسادكم على النار لا تقوى. واعلموا أن الله إنما يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأنه سبحانه قد ندبكم للصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، فأكثروا من الصلاة والسلام عليه، والله يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters to the khutbah of today which is titled Fasting, the Ahadith and Rulings of it. And after we started and began by khutbah al-haja, then I said, O slaves of Allah, fasting is the great worship that Allah Ta'ala obligated upon all the nations. As He Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 183, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُهُوا بِلِيبِ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. It is made obligatory upon you to fast. كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم, as it was made, you may have piety. So fasting is a worship that is assigned and obligated just to purify the souls and to remove the sins and to clear out the hearts. As Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala said in the definition of fasting, he said it is holding, it is a special holding in a special time from special things with special conditions. And the Allama Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said it is to worship Allah by holding of eating and drinking and all other nullifiers of fasting from the dawn until the sunset. Fasting, O slaves of Allah, is a great fasting, and it is one is a great worship, and it is one of the worships that needs for a pre-intention to it, an intention pre to it, as in the hadith agreed upon on the authority of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتُ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Verily, these are considered based on their intentions, and and everyone is rewarded based on his intention. Intention, O slaves of Allah, is what is settled in the heart of doing something, and its place, its location is the heart, not the tongue, and it is not permissible to utter it with the tongue. And uttering it and declaring it with the tongue is a type of innovation, a type of bid'ah. It is permissible for one to have the intention of fasting of the following day from the night. However, it is obligatory, as in the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does not have the intention of fasting from the night, then he will not be considered fasting. So it is permissible even if it is, if the intention is found just a minute before Fajr. Even just a minute before Fajr, it's considered to be a valid fasting. And as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, that everyone knows that tomorrow is Ramadan and he intends to fast it, then this is the intention that he needs. And this is what all the Muslims do. He does not need to do some special thing or say some special thing, but he knows that tomorrow is Ramadan and he is deciding to fast this Ramadan. That is the intention he needs. However, fasting, optional fasting, does not need an intention from the night, but it can be intended any time during the day just before dhuhr by about 15 minutes. And the last time optional fasting is accepted to start from is 15 minutes before dhuhr time. Unless if he has eaten before that, or committed or practiced sexual intercourse. If he did so, even if he didn't eat, then there is no fasting. Naam. And the optional fasting for special days like Ashura and Arafah, some of our ulama said that they are treated like Ramadan. They need to have an intention from night. But this is an opinion of some of al-ilm. However, there is not any proof for that, so we say that it is permissible to fast Ashura or the day of Arafah even from during the morning. Now, and whenever it is announced and declared that the crescent of the moon of the month of Ramadan, once it is witnessed that it is seen, and the government, the Muslim government in that country where you live today, declared, then you have to fast with them. You don't say that I'm on Abun this madhab which says this, or I am from this country which they haven't started fasting. No. Wherever you are at that time, and they in that place declare fasting, start of fasting tomorrow, then, Ya Ikhwan, so whenever it is declared that it is Ramadan tomorrow, then you have to fast, as the Prophet ﷺ said, "Sumu li ru'yati wa aftaru li ru'yati." Establish your fasting once the moon is sighted, and break your fasting, meaning at the end of Ramadan, once the moon of Shawwal is sighted. And he ﷺ said, "As-sawmu yawma tasawmun wal-fitru yawma tafṭirun." Fasting is in the day that everybody fasts. And fitr, meaning the Eid, is when everybody is not fasting or consider that it is Eid. Naam. And in the other hadith, he said, As-sawmu yawma yasumu an-nas. The fasting is in the day, and it starts in the day in which people start fasting. Meaning, if the yani whole country, if the government declare that tomorrow is fasting, tomorrow is Ramadan, then you have to start fasting. You don't say, oh, but I'm on this madhab, I am from this country, or no. Wherever you are. If you are Indian living in Saudi, during that time, then you fast with Saudis. If you are Saudi living in India, during that time, then you fast with India. You don't say, I'm from Saudi, I fast with Saudi. No. That's all wrong. It is wherever you are, when the Muslims sight the moon in that area. And whoever does not fast Ramadan for no invalid reason, then he has committed one of the major sins. And the people of knowledge have different opinions in regard to this person. Is he kafir, like the one who does not pray? Or he is only fasir, but he needs for a clear repentance to come out of the sin of this major sin. And he is under the willing of Allah. If Allah Ta'ala, if he dies without fasting, then he is under the willing of Allah. If Allah will to put him in the Jannah, Allah will put him in the Jannah. If Allah will to put him in the fire, Allah will put him in the fire. But this does not mean that you find it easy to just don't fast. Because you don't know if Allah Ta'ala will to obey Allah Ta'ala in order that Allah Ta'ala forgives you the sins that you commit unwillingly. And even willingly, but they are not from the major sins. Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, it is determined before the believers that whoever does not fast during the month of Ramadan for no valid reason, then he is worse than the one who commits zina. And worse than who drinks khamr constantly, or is addicted to khamr. Naam? And he said, he continued to say, however, they even have doubts if he's still a Muslim or not. And they believe that he has zandaqa. Zandaqa and inhilal. Zandaqa means that he does not have a proper religion. He just worships his desire. If his desire today to pray, he prays. It's not for Allah. If his desire, as you see, yani in the Eid day, you see faces that you never ever have seen in the masjid. Even during the whole Ramadan. But in the Eid day they come. Why? Because to them it's a desire, it's a celebration, and that's it. They just come to meet people there, and that's it. So these people, how come they be counted as Muslims? If they never pray, they never fast, they never do. Or some fast just because of a habit, or maybe medically. So these type of worship is not accepted. So we have to be careful, ya Akhwan. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, if a person break fasting during the month of Ramadan, thinking that it is permissible for no reason, just like that it is permissible, it's okay to fast or not to fast, and he knows that it is not permissible to break for no valid reason, then he said, then this person must be killed. Why? For the crime of apostasy. He has apostated his religion of Islam. He rejected it. Naam? And naam. And to those scholars who say he is considered to be fasiq not kafir, then he must be punished by the ruler, the Muslim ruler, for breaking the fasting during the month of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, we live in a country where it is not permissible for anybody to break fasting. Even the kuffar, they are not allowed to eat or drink openly in front of Muslims. Alhamdulillah. And may Allah Ta'ala reward this government and keep them on that constantly, raising the flag of Islam and spreading Islam widely. Things that nullify fasting are nine things are nine. One first one, and the most major one, is the apostasy. If anybody who is fasting, if is praying, fasting, he committed any thing that is considered to be from apostasy. Like, if he says that he is Yahud, even joke, no jokes in this. Or if he says that he is Christian, or he is Buddhist, or Hindus, or whatsoever, then he is like them. Then he is from them. It's a type of apostasy. Now, somebody who is fasting and cursed Allah, cursed the Prophet, cursed the religion, or mocked anything of the religion, then he's out of Islam. And he's out of Islam. This person, if he repents during that time, if he's reminded and he said, Astaghfirullah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, we say, you don't need to yani make this day after Ramadan. Now, you just, we say that you hold from now until Maghrib. He says, but I'm fasting already. You say, no. Those hours preceded your apostasy is not considered to be from fasting, because they were destroyed by the kufr that you committed. He will keep on fasting that, the rest of the day, and after Ramadan, he needs to make up this single day. Not the days before it, but that single day that he reimbursed Islam in. So it is very serious to be careful not to commit anything that is considered to be from the apostasy. The second nullifier of fasting is, as all know, that the blood of menses and also the bleeding after giving birth, this all nullify fasting. Woman cannot continue fasting when she is on bleeding. Eating or drinking intentionally, but if it is unintentionally, then he just holds whatever he remembers, or he is reminded, then he just holds the rest of the day and nothing on him. He doesn't even need to make up this day, nor to feed poor for that day. Nothing. He just continues, because as the Prophet ﷺ said, that Allah Ta'ala fed him. Naam. But whoever continue eating or drinking after remembering or reminded, then he has nullified his fasting. Now, and also what is ever considered to be food, even if it is not taken from mouth, kind of like the glucose or whatsoever, these things that is given through the veins, but not as medicines, but as food. Now, however, injections which are only medicines, then they do not nullify fasting. They do not nullify, because the body does not get yani its need from it as food. Now, and also what nullifies fasting is vomiting willingly and intentionally by smelling something that you know that it causes you vomiting. You know very well that once you smell this, it causes you vomiting. Then, if you do it, you have nullified your fasting. But if you accidentally vomit, then nothing on you. Unless if you swallow back any part of the food that you vomited. Now, and worse than these nullifiers is the sexual intercourse. Inserting the man's private part into the woman's private part, whether ejected or not. Whether ejected or not. Just inserting, this causes the nullify. If he and she both agree on that, both of them have nullified their fasting of that day, and they have to hold the rest of the day, and they continue fasting, but they need to make up this day after Ramadan, and they have to repent to Allah from this crime, and they have to fast 2 months in a row. They cannot break between, even by a traveling that is not necessary. He says, let us travel just to break, to take some days off. Say, this is not acceptable. And whenever he breaks the fasting intentionally, And any day he has to cancel all the preceding days and start again. Even if he is in day number 58. Even if he is in day number 58 or number 59, and he intentionally break the fasting, all the days before it cancelled. He got to restart another 2 months. Okay? And whether this inserting be in a private part of a woman, front or back, or a man, or an animal, anything that you insert your private part into, this nullifies your fasting and causes you the major recovery, which is, as we said, fasting 2 months in row. Fasting 2 months in row. Now, but this does not mean that it is allowed to come to women from backside or come to men or animals. La. These are independent crimes, but when these are done in Ramadan, they are even worse. And they cause greater sin than normal days. Now, and also what nullifies fasting is ejecuting even without inserting, by hand, by thighs, by whatsoever, except if it is during a dream, during sleeping. If he dream, if he saw a dream and he found himself wet, then nothing on him, nothing, no recovery, no making up this day, but he continue fasting and no problem. As well, and the same when ejaculating comes due to just imagination, thinking of the sexual intercourse, and then he ejaculated. Most of the ulama say that he doesn't have to do nothing. He doesn't have to do nothing. Unless if he, besides thinking, he get involved with his private part by hand, by thighs, by, then he has to hold the rest of the day and make up this day and repent from this crime. Or if he is sick and he does not have control over the ejaculating. So even without sins, he just ejaculates. So this type of discharge of semen does not nullify fasting, because it's unwillingly, unintentional. Now, also what nullifies fasting is to stop the intention. What do you mean by stop the intention? If you want to travel, and you decided to break fasting during this traveling, then this decision you made is your intention. And now if you did not eat nothing and you said, oh, better I continue on fasting, we say, no, stop. You already intended to break it. And Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ said, verily deeds are based on the intentions. So you already intended to break your fasting. So you cannot consider it now valid. You have to make up this day later on. Now, no sin on you. And breaking fast in trouble does not necessarily mean that this traveling is a hard travel. No, even if it is easy, even if you are okay, but you just want to break fast, up to you. You can break fast, no problem. Now, and also if he breaks the fast for sickness, he is sick and he could not resist or cope or continue, and he's even if it is bad headache. He cannot now continue with it. Then we say, if you can't sleep and you just continue this method. But if you can't sleep, you have work, you have like that, then Islam came with ease, not with difficulties. So you break this fasting, eat and take the medicine, and make up a day instead of this day later after Ramadan. Same thing, woman who has menses or give birth. Now, whether they intend or they don't intend, they are already in the nullifier of fasting. So once they are free of the menses or bleeding after giving birth, once they are free from that during the month of Ramadan, they need to have an intention at night for tomorrow fasting. They need to have intention from the night which the following day is day that they intend to fast. Now, and the last nullifier of fasting is losing sanity by craziness or falling in coma from from Fajr until sunset. But if he has his sanity up until like sunrise, and then he lost it, or he fell in coma, and he did not come back to normal position till it was just before Maghrib, or even after Maghrib, his fasting is acceptable to many of the ulama. But if it was from before Fajr until after Maghrib, then it is not acceptable. Naam. And also the one who loses his sanity by drinking khamr or any toxicant, this is even worse, because it is haram and he went to it willingly. So he is worse than the one who lost his sanity with no intention. So this person, if he loses any moment of day with no sanity, then his fasting is not acceptable. He needs to make up this day, and he needs to repent from this drinking khamr or any toxicant, and repent from not being fasting during the day of Ramadan. Whoever needs to treat his teeth, to have teeth treatment or removal, then this does not nullify his fasting, with the condition that he does not swallow the water that they use or the blood. If he does not swallow, then no problem to treat your teeth or remove it, no problem. And also it does not nullify one's fasting whenever he needs to drag some blood out of his body for lab test. Now, but the ulama have different opinions in regard to one who do hijama, cobbing, or donate. Some of the ulama say cobbing or donating blood nullifies fasting. However, there is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performed or he did cobbing when he was fasting. So the proper opinion is that it does not nullify your fasting whether you do cobbing or donate blood, unless if you find it hard to continue fasting that day, then you break and you make up a day instead. But if you know before cobbing, you know that you are somebody who cannot resist after having blood extracted out of your body, then you don't do cobbing until after Maghrib. But in regard to donating blood, if it is not urgent needed during the day, then if it can be done after Maghrib, after Iftar, then you better do it after Maghrib. Now, whoever wakes up in the morning finding that he is still in Janaba, for example, that he enjoyed his wife, or he slept and dreamed, then he found the whip, this does not nullify fasting. What nullifies fasting is ejaculating or sexual intercourse during the daytime of fasting. But if you've done it during night time and in the morning you woke up without taking shower, your fasting is okay. Now, woman does not break her fasting, or her fasting is not considered to be nullified, if she sees the blood of menses or blood that come pre to giving birth, or liquids come or discharge pre to giving birth, if this was just after sunset, even 1 second. If it is 1 second after sunset, she saw that, her fasting of that day is acceptable. Is okay. Now, but if she saw the blood, even one drop of blood, just before Maghrib, 1 single minute, that day is that then fasting is nullified. It's not acceptable. Now, and also, she can fast in the day that she saw the sign of purity of menses just before Fajr, even 1 minute. If she saw that she is clear now, but once she saw the Adhan is raised, we say, okay, your fasting for today is okay. Is okay. Even you cannot take shower until, and it's already Fajr, khalas. But yet she can fast, no problem. Because the important thing is, when did she see the purity, sign of purity, or the blood? Now, it is permissible for one who is fasting to taste the food, to know the amount of sugar, the amount of salt, the amount of like that, if it is already cooked or not, raw or not. Now, but with a condition, you don't swallow whatever you put on your tongue to taste, you don't swallow but you spit it away. Now, and also it is permissible for one who is fasting when it is hot to cool down his body with shower, or even to go sleep, but he must wake up for the prayer in time. Yani he can sleep from after Fajr until Dhuhr, and then wake up, pray Dhuhr, and come back, sleep from after Dhuhr until Asr, and then go pray Asr and come back, sleep from after Asr until Maghrib. This fasting is okay. It's not nullified. Not nullified, because he has done the prayers in time and he did not eat, he did not do nothing, so his fasting is okay. It is permissible for one to use the eyeliner or the kuhl, and also the eye drops as well as the ear drops. And there is nothing considered about the taste you find in your throat, the sour taste, when you use the eye drop or ear drop. Some people say, but when we use the eye drop, we feel it in our throat. We say that your eye and your ear are not inlets of the body. The inlets of the body is the nose and the mouth. The ear and the eye are not inlets to the body, direct inlets. Now, and it is also permissible to use the spray for the asthma or nose if it is only spray. If you don't need to bend up your head to the to back, and you spray, because this type of thing causes the spray, the liquid spray, to go into the throat. But if you spray into nose in normal position, then it does not break your fasting, because it does not go to the throat. It just release the release the nose from the blockage it has, and also the asthma. Even if it is through the mouth, still it does not go to the stomach. It does not go to the stomach. It is permissible to swallow your saliva. Use your siwak, toothstick, or use your toothpaste and brush. And any time in the day, and in the morning, after Dhuhr, after Asr, before Maghrib, it's all permissible. There is no any dalil to say that it is not permissible to clean your mouth after Asr. For people use this type of understanding, but it is not correct. Now, the important thing is you don't swallow anything of the toothpaste or even pieces of the tooth stick. You have to spit them out. But the taste that comes from the toothpaste or the tooth stick is not a nullifier of fasting. The taste. Not itself. If you swallow it, then that is a nullifier. But if you just find the smell of it, it's okay, not a problem. And also, the one who swallow the plum. If you swallow it after it came out from the chest to the mouth, then this is a nullifier. You have to spit it out. But if you cough and then it come up until the throat, and then it dropped into the stomach, it's nothing considered. And it's not considered to be a nullifier. Now, And it is important for one who is going to fast, inshallah, to protect his fasting from lying, from slandering, backbiting, from deceiving, from cheating, from insulting, cursing, fighting, arguments, and also to protect his fasting from looking or listening to what is haram. Looking to women on TV and films and like that, looking to pictures, or looking to even women in the streets or market or hospital in a way that, you know, with a desire or enjoying to see the figure or face. But yani, if you see a woman walking, that's normal. That's like when you go to the haram, it's impossible to say you can't see a woman. Then how can you go and do tawaf and sa'i? You're gonna see the woman. But if you look to the woman, oh, this is nice woman, nice body, nice face, that is the thing that affects your fasting. Does not nullify it, but it affects it. Naam? And also listening to music or songs or like that. And all and one who's in fasting day, he should do a lot of remembrance of Allah. Keep himself busy with remembrance. Don't have sub talks. Anything that is not beneficial to you in worldly life or akhirah, just avoid it. It's a great time for exercising, using your time. So you cut the day by remembrance, seeking forgiveness and like that. The sunnah for one who is fasting is to break his fasting on fresh dates. If not fresh dates, then any dates, raw dates. If not, then some water. That is before salah. Not eating before salah. Yani, many people today, they prefer to sit on the meal once the adhan of Maghrib is raised, and they don't leave until they finish everything. And they come to the masjid, mashallah, lot of and bad smell. Now that's not good. And very lazy. And they come late. Wallahi, sometimes we call the iqama, there are only maybe 3 or 4 people in the masjid. And once I finish the Salatul Maghrib, I see the masjid full behind me. More than half of the masjid missed 1 or 2 rak'at, or maybe 3. Why? Where were they all that time? They were just eating. Although, in Ramadan, usually people extend the time between Adhan and Iqama. Normally it is 10 minutes. In Ramadan, they make it 15 and sometimes 17, 18 minutes. Why? They say for people to eat. They should not be eating there now. They should just break their fasting. Health-wise, you should not eat like that, because the liver is not ready. You take some dates, and today's science proved that the best thing for fasting person is to take some sweetness. And the best sweet is the dates, as they are safe for body. You take them, and the liver absorbs the sugar in them, and starts activating now. So when you go back, ready for eating. And you better come walking and go back walking. Why? This will also help your body to get ready for coming food. No? But anyway, yani, this is an advice, and this is in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the first part of the khutbah. Second part, I began by praising Allah, sending peace and blessings of Abu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then I said, all believers, all slaves of Allah, once it is announced that tomorrow is Ramadan, then Salat al-Taraweeh is to be established from that night. We don't wait until we are fasting, then we do Salat al-Taraweeh. Salat al-Taraweeh begins before fasting. And fasting will be the last thing in Ramadan. We don't have Salat al-Taraweeh after the last day of fasting. You know what I mean? So we start Ramadan by the sunset of the last day of Sha'ban, and we finish Ramadan by the sunset of the last day of Ramadan. So that last day we don't pray Taraweeh, meaning the night of Eid. We don't pray Taraweeh. On the beginning of Ramadan, last day of Sha'ban, once they see the side of the moon, then we start Salat al-Taraweeh. Now, we pray Salat al-Taraweeh. and it is legislated to be in congregation, in jama'ah, in the masjid. Now, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed it for 3 nights and then he stopped. And when he was asked, he said, I was afraid that it become obligatory upon you and you will not be able to perform. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim under the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha. And close to it is what Ahlul Sunan reported on the authority of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anha. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to pray more than 11 rak'ah, as Aisha radiallahu anha reported in Bukhari and Muslim. And as in Bukhari, Ibn Abbas said he did not used to pray more than 13 rak'ah. Now, 11:13 of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is as Ibn Mas'ud described, or as Aisha herself radiallahu ta'ala anha described. She said he used to pray 4 rak'ah. Don't ask how long, how beautiful they were. How long, how beautiful they were. And then 4 rak'ah, don't ask how long, how beautiful they were. And then 3 rak'ah. And this, how long, this length, was described by Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud said that I prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night, and he started Surah Al-Baqarah. Until he finished it. And then he went to Surah Al-Nisa. He started Surah Al-Nisa. Until he finished it. And then he came back to Surah, and he returned back to Surah Al-Imran, which is between Baqarah and Nisa. And he started it until he finished it, all that in one rak'ah. All that in one rak'ah. Today, yani the haram finishes the salah in maybe one and a half hours, for Taraweeh, and they do only one juzu, one bera, and one quarter of the following juzu. What about if we want to pray the way Rasulullah sallam prayed? People cannot. People today cannot. They are not yani strong in iman to do this. In body they are strong. They play lots of sports. They go walking. They play football. They play many other sports. They are strong in body. They eat better than the time of the Sahaba. Lots of food today. Now, they are very convinced. Air conditioning, shower, water, this, that. These things were not available at the time of Sahaba. So in body they are much stronger than the Sahaba, but in Iman, Iman is a different thing. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a very thin, short guy. So when he wanted to cut the head of Abu Jahl, he needed to climb over his chest, because he was too little. But his Iman was very, very heavy. And that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, when they laughed at Ibn Mas'ud's shins, legs, because they were very thin. One day he climbed over a tree and sat over a branch and he swinged his legs. Sahaba saw how small and thin his legs are and they laughed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them, you laugh from the thinness and the small size of the legs of Ibn Mas'ud, verily by the one who is my sword is in his hand, they are heavier in the scale of Allah than the heavens and earth. Why? Because they carry loads of iman. Loads of iman. So, the difference between people today and the time of Sahaba is the iman. Is the iman. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said that they used to pray, even after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, they used to pray Salatul Qiyam in Ramadan whole night. He said that when we finish, we run to the houses calling the family to bring the food before Fajr. That means only a few minutes before Fajr. And he said that they used to pray holding sticks so they don't fall down because of long time recitation and prayer. Today people, they cannot do that. They cannot do that. SubhanAllah. So we say, now, but as Al-Ilm said that there is no any limited number of rak'at of Salatul Layl. Whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, there is no limited number. Because the one who can give us the limited number is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not say nothing about the number of rak'at. So people can pray 11, 13, 15, 17, 19, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, 31, 33, 35, 37, up to them. And the ulama say, if they cannot do long standing, then the fellas do more rak'at. But if they can yani stand longer, this would be better, with 11 rak'at or even lesser. Now, but yani as we said, that the person needs to yani train himself to pray it in the jama'ah of the Muslims in the masjid. Now, and it should be in the masjid where he is living by. People today are so yani so addicted to nice voices of reciters. They leave their local masjid and they go far masjid. Why? Oh, there is a nice reciter there. Reciter. Actually, this is not the way of the Sahaba. You pray where you live. So if everybody in this compound goes to outside masjid, and somebody come to this compound and see only half row standing behind the imam, what he says? This compound most kuffar or what? So we should yani, pray in our local masajid, wherever you live. If you live by a masjid where the imam is, mashallah, nice voice, then okay. But if not, and some masajid, they just bring someone whose voice is yani nice just to lead the prayer in Taraweeh. What is that? What about the imam of the masjid? La ma'alayh, jazakallah khair, you lead all the salawat, now we need to enjoy. What do you enjoy? Do you enjoy the voice of the reciter, or you enjoy the speech of Allah? You should enjoy the speech of Allah. Whether you recite it, or someone whose voice is not that yani nice, or someone whose nice voice, the important thing is that you yani enjoy and think of what has been recited. Now, and from the common mistakes that people fall into in Ramadan is carrying the Quran behind the imam. It's a mistake. This is wrong. You are in prayer, you should not carry mushaf. Why do you carry mushaf? Or to follow the imam? What do you mean by follow the imam? Are you going to correct him when he mistaken? Oh yes. Okay, did he ask you to do that? And why we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people carrying the mushaf? That's wrong, ya ikhwan. If the imam needs to have someone correct him, and there is no one who is memorizing the Quran behind him, then he can ask the one behind him to carry the mushaf, only him, to correct him. But not everyone carry the mushaf, and some of them say that, oh, because if we don't, we think out. You already thinking out when you look into the mushaf. You are not concentrating, you are concentrating on the page number, on the line and the page number. You are not concentrating in salah. You are already outside. Allah Ta'ala said, إِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا. Whenever the Quran is recited, then listen. استمعوا له وأنصتوا. And listen carefully. Allah never said, listen and look. If looking will bring you concentration, Allah will have asked you to do it. But Allah Ta'ala told you to listen by your ear, and insight is by your heart. By your heart, by your brain. You listen and think of what is recited. Now, and from these mistakes is that people eat a lot of food in iftar, so they come very lazy to Salat al-Isha and Taraweeh. And that's why you see the fightings in the mosque. Akhi, you, the imam, you lead too long, we are tired, we are this. Akhi, subhanAllah, you are tired because you ate too much today. That's the only thing. And if you don't listen to the advice that tell you, don't eat too much, then when you come and find it out, you sit down, akhi. You can pray sitting, no problem. No. I feel it is shame to feel to sit. I'm young. Okay, you are young, but you made yourself heavy. You ate a lot. You are weaker than an old man now. You should sit. But you don't force the whole jama'ah to go on your wish. That's wrong. Now, and worse than that is eating some food which has bad smell. Especially if you are somebody that people already talk to you, they said, akhi, you have to. And some people prefer to eat some food that has produced bad smell. You like it, okay, but you don't, yani, the Prophet ﷺ did not forbid onion and garlic, but he said whoever eats them, he should not come to the masjid. And he asked the Sahaba to take one guy who the smell of garlic found from him and threw him outside the masjid. Outside. Because it's not only the people praying, but even the angels. As the Prophet ﷺ said, even the angels get disturbed and annoyed by the smell of these things. And worse than that is those who smoke. Smoke cigarettes, smoke pipe or hubbly bubbly or whatsoever. After iftar they smoke and come to the Isha, bad smell. This is even worse because this is haram and bad smell. Haram and bad smell. Now, and better and the best for one, for the person who is coming for Salat Taraweeh, is to take shower and wear the best of his clothes. The best of his clothes and put some perfume, come early to Isha, come walking. Naam? Don't ride, come walking. It's more reward and prepare you. And woman is allowed to come to the masjid for Taraweeh prayer, but she must avoid whatsoever is considered to be fitna, trial for men, yani fitna that cause men in yani into the sin. Like if she wears something that attracts men's eyes, or wears perfume that drags them close to her, or even walking. Some women come to masjid walking in a way that, subhanAllah, very bad. That's very bad. And everybody, every Muslim got to keep the masjid away from the kids playing. Kids playing. This is every year. Ramadan comes, fathers in the first row, they don't care about their kids back, playing, joking, shouting, crying, fighting. This is not correct. Because the people are praying, and this annoys them and disturbs them. So if you know that your child is not somebody who can just stand quietly beside you, then don't bring it. Don't bring the child. But if you know that, even if he doesn't pray, but he is quiet, no problem to bring him, so he can see and learn. But if he is not, you bring him one day and then you say to him, I will not take you with me 2-3 days as a punishment. You have to know that in the masjid you cannot play, you cannot do this. So this will encourage him to, inshallah ta'ala, be upon good manners when he comes to the masjid. And all the people of the masjid got to take care of cleanliness of the masjid and yani perfuming it or putting incense. But we need to choose. Some people yani wish to bought something, so they bring anything cheap. And sometimes these perfumes or incense was cheap, yani cause allergy to others and bad, because they are manufactured with very bad and dangerous things. So if you want, you can clean the masjid. You can, you know, participate and donate, contribute some of you to buy some good incense or perfume, no problem. Now, and also we keep the masjid, we keep praying in the masjid, not only Maghrib and Taraweeh. Because we see here, people are only seen in Maghrib and Taraweeh. But okay, where are you in door? Oh, I'm at door. Okay, Asr, I came tired and I said, SubhanAllah. You're fasting. You held yourself from eating, drinking, and sexual intercourse all the day. Now you can't force yourself to come for prayer? 5 minutes? Nah, that's not correct. Or Fajr, they sleep, they don't come for Fajr. Why be, I have work tomorrow. So what? You have to work tomorrow, you have holidays from prayer fighting, or what? That sounds really strange. And also, we have to seek the reward from Allah Ta'ala for our patience in standing for the Taraweeh and night prayer. Even if it is too long. But if we find it difficult, we can sit. No problem. You can sit on the ground or on a chair, no problem. Now, but the imams must know the people behind them. If they know them weak, and they know them even weak in iman, they are not that strong, they should not put them into the fitna and say, no, we have to recite the whole Quran this Ramadan. La akhi, it's not obligatory to recite the whole Quran in the prayer in Ramadan. Not obligatory. If they are strong enough and they will, alhamdulillah. If not, then we cannot force them. Then we cannot force them to stand in the prayer. And worse than that is the dua. Some imams and even the people, they like the imam not to recite long surahs, but the dua they like long. And they don't cry. They don't, you never hear them crying when the imam recites the ayat of Jannah, the ayat of fire, the ayat. They don't cry. When the imam recites the ayat describe that the kuffar are worshipping other than Allah or saying bad things about. Once the imam starts dua, Allahumma, Allahumma, and you hear crying like if somebody is disturbing them with knife or beating them with sticks. That's not correct, Ikhwan. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to cry, but he never ever his crying was here. But the Sahaba said that whenever he cried, we know by the voice that comes from his chest, not from his mouth. And he's trying to struggle. He's struggling. That's how we need to be, but not with the dua, but not when the Quran is recited, we don't even have any emotion or any crying. Naam? And also, some imams prefer to use dua that ends with the same letter. They go for it, and maybe they memorize it. They memorize it like that, and they prefer it like if it is a poem or song. Nah, Allahumma, like this. They bring with as they call it sajah in Arabic. And the Prophet ﷺ criticized it. He said, "Asajah kasajah al-kohan." They use this type of wording like the witchcraft and magicians. Magicians, when they do their magicians, they bring like these things. Ol balol, ol balol, like this. They end up the word with similar letter to make you, Isa said, whoever makes like that in dua, then he's imitating the magicians and witchcraft, So we have to avoid this. And if we know the imam doing like that, we come to him and say, Akhi, Jazakallah khair. But it is better to use the dua in the Quran and in the Sunnah. What is wrong with the dua in the Quran? What is wrong with the dua that Rasulullah used to use? Why we need something new? It's surprising. Now, unless if it is something necessary, like for example, if there are crises in some Muslim countries, we make dua that Rasulullah did not make by that name, but the dua itself was done by Rasulullah whenever there was any problems or crisis in his time. Now, so and then I said, O slaves of Allah, Ramadan is a month that Allah Ta'ala gave especially for the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So give it much of your care and fear Allah the way it should be, and know that your bodies cannot resist the fire. And then I ended up by reminding of what Allah Ta'ala commanded with the justice, goodness, and good relation with the relatives. And He, Allah Ta'ala, forbid the fahsha in speech and munkar in action and baghi, which is oppression of others. And He, Allah Ta'ala, encouraged the Muslims to do a lot of salah and salam, peace and blessings to be sent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He, Allah Ta'ala, reminded us so that we remember and come back to Him. So I commanded saying, remember Allah, the great and majesty. So Allah Ta'ala will remember you, meaning mention you before the angels and bless you. And thank Him for all the great blessings that He blesses on you and sustains you. So He increases that on you. And then I said, verily the remembrance of Allah is greater than every and anything. And Allah knows what you all do. Allah Ta'ala A'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. InshaAllah Ta'ala, from the next Friday, after the khutbah, we are going to have some durus of the ahadith of Ramadan and fasting. We just do some explanations on the ahadith of Ramadan and fasting. Wallahu a'lam. If you have any question related to the topic, you are welcome. Otherwise, may Allah Ta'ala keep us safe and increase our iman in the remaining days of Sha'ban, and make us from those who do all good in Ramadan and forgive our sins, increase His mercy upon us, and make us from those who come out of Ramadan with the greater reward. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi. You have a question?
Okay,
go ahead. Raise your voice. When
the person is having the severe headache, instead of breaking fast, taking the medicine, you can take the injection. So this
yes.
Valid or the...
No, valid. If it is injection of like Voltaren or... Yeah, painkiller, no problem. This does not nullify fasting.
Test,
no problem. The important thing is you don't swallow it. Taste and smell, no problem. Even the toothpick has taste. Okay, I know, but you don't swallow it. We already said that you can't taste the food itself. If it is sweet enough, salty enough, but you don't swallow it. You spit it out. Optional fasting.
Optional, but not this.
No. We said optional fasting.
But for this Ramadan.
The intention must be found from night, from before Fajr.
If you give like a lot of this.
No. I mean, like for example, now. Maybe tomorrow night they say Sunday is Ramadan, and you hear this and you came for Taraweeh, so you know it is Ramadan. In your heart you already decided to fast Ramadan. خلاص, this is the intention.
No.
Once at the beginning it's enough, unless you break this intention by another intention of not fasting because you are traveling or sick.
But then in this full month is enough.
Enough, unless, as I said, if you break it at any time in Ramadan, for traveling or for...
For breaking and keeping Shabbat out in any words, like you did as a
long time. No, we said no utter.
It's bid'ah.
It's bid'ah. You don't say Allahumma, any way to an asum. No. It's only the intention. Yeah. No, Bismillah, nothing. It's your decision, it's your intention in your heart. That's it.
How about
there is no sunnah for taking shower before sahur. No sunnah. If you wish to take shower to clean, for cleanness, up to you. But it's not sunnah.
After sahur, you can take shower before prayer.
If you are not pure.
Janaba.
Yes, you can take it after sahur, no problem. Even after adhan and fajr call, praise.
You
still can take shower, it does not affect your fast.
You can take food off on Janaba.
Yes.
For before prayer, you take shower.
Before?
Before prayer.
Before the prayer. If you are on Janaba, you have to take the shower. Not you can, you have.
No, I'm saying, you can take food
No.
You can take food before shower.
Before shower, yeah.
Yes, you can take food before shower. Yeah.
Impure. Should not have anything.
What is the deal? The question is, have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever been in Janaba or not? You don't know? You don't know that he enjoyed? Okay. Is there any deal to say that he did not used to eat until he takes shower? So how come we make it a religion then?
What
is the deal of that? Sahih, half of faith, half of the cleanness is half of faith.
Yeah.
But not any cleanness. الطهور شطر الإيمان. This is a hadith. طهور شطر الإيمان. طهور means يعني complete purity, like with wudu and everything. But the question is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did used to be in that or not? He used, as Aisha said, he used to be yani found in the morning of Ramadan in Janaba, meaning after the Fajr is called, and then he takes prayer, takes shower and go for prayer. So it means he already has taken his sahur in Janaba. Allah barik. Go ahead, Lubna, go ahead. Assalamu alaikum.
In our clinic, the car packages are very old. Since I think 4 or 5 years, I mean, we are using
the
same one. Possible to change.
Well, time, inshallah, we'll see. I should have told me that earlier, because I'm going to Medina today, but inshallah I will see.
Inshallah.
Okay, here's a question from Sister Lubna. No. Says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it from the Sunnah to have a bath before we start the month of Ramadan? No, it is not from the Sunnah. It is not from the Sunnah to have a bath before you start the month of Ramadan. However, it is considered to be bid'ah if you intend to take it as worship. Can a woman pray Taraweeh prayers on her own at home? Yes, she can. And even the man can. Not only a woman, even a man can pray it on his own. Now, purity or purify your intention, says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, she just... okay. Repeat the same question. Dawood 34_1. Go ahead. Dawood says, Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Do we start the fast in the USA, do we start with you all? Don't understand the question. The question is unclear to me. Do you mean to say that in the States you start fasting with Saudi? Is this what you mean? Well, the proper opinion that the moon has to be cited regionally by the Muslim communities or Muslim governments, countries, wherever they are. But if there are no communities, no committee of citing the moon, and nobody cites the moon in the States, which I doubt, if there is no one, then you fast with the nearest country to the US which cites the moon of Ramadan. Now, but if there are none, or people surrounding do not use moon sighting, but they complete 30 days, then you fast with Saudi if you wish. Sajid _ R, go ahead. Sajid says, Assalamu alaikum salam. Is it recommended to block our ears with fingers when hear a music sound? It is recommended, but it is not obligatory. It is recommended. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma did that as a slave. Nafi' did it one day, and when he was asked about he heard a shiver playing music on a pipe, and then Nafi' put his fingers on his ear and caused the donkey or the camel to go faster. And then he was asked about that. He said, I saw Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu doing so. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. There is a hadith about this. Okay, I just mentioned it. Yeah, Ibn Umar. Na'am. Okay, no more questions. So So inshallah ta'ala, we end up our session today. Willing to see you tomorrow inshallah at 12 midnight Saudi time inshallah ta'ala with key to knowledge, and then we continue on a normal schedule. And every day we are going to have question and answer session on the issues of Ramadan. طيب التاجر محمد, go ahead. We may have this as the last question, inshallah. Tajir Muhammad says, Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But one thing, Ikhwan, when you call salam, especially, yani whether a single person or more than one, you say, Assalamu alaikum. That is better. That is the sunnah and that is better. Nah, because when you call salam for one, single individual, you call it with for him and the angels with him. So you say, Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it alright for my 10-year-old son who understands how to lead the prayer, to lead my wife and the rest of the family in Taraweeh prayer in my absence? Yes, it is permissible. Aisha radiallahu anha used to have a seven years boy to lead the prayer for them, and he used to hold the Quran and he recites from the Quran. So it is permissible, as in Sunan Abi Dawood, na'am, authentic hadith. It is permissible, inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu, sallallahu sallam mubarak على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه, وبارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.